And welcome to the talk show today. Chad Bird is the manager, the city manager of the city of Burlington. We were talking about actually the Players Workshop Theater. Chad and I both got to be celebrity taste testers last weekend.
Celebrity judges on a cooking show.
I was on the Friday front. You were there on Saturday, but we're just talking about the fact is, you know, the things that we have that are very rich parts of the community, very 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 important parts of the community. The Players Workshop Theater, in fact, that's the building, the history then behind that place. It really is. It's a jewel. It really
is, and it's going into its 90th year.
Yes.
That's incredible. Of community theater in Burlington, 90 years.
Yes, and I didn't start the first one.
You've certainly been around a lot more than I have, though.
No, I've been around the block a few times, but that's another story. No, we were saying on our Monday show. Well, if you're downtown Burlington, you've got the same thing they talk about in Minnesota and here in Iowa, and that is there's really only two seasons. One is winter, and the other one is road construction.
Construction season, orange barrel season, right?
It is, and Jefferson Street is going to be under construction. You're basically moving from from the west to the east.
Yep.
You're doing it, and as you move, everything is staying. You're replacing the sidewalks, redoing that, and redoing the street. So it's like it's going to be a very very different look to it, won't it?
Yeah, and we're also working on the improvements for the utilities underground too. The stormwater, water where we can, new hydrants, new connections there. Back up on the west end there by Central, they've been moving down now this spring with sidewalks.
Right.
Here shortly, there's a brick inlay section right at the edge of the parking and the curb line. They'll start putting those in here as soon as the bricks show up. So maybe in another week or two, they'll get crews out and start to do that. One thing that we're seeing with some of the shipping delays and
yes.
just supply chain stuff is that our streetlights, the new streetlights, we're not going to see all those right away. So we will have some temporary lighting that'll go up. I know that West End's getting dark as the old lights come out and they put in the new infrastructure. We don't have the new lights to put in, but we're working on kind of some string lighting that we'll put up to just brighten that up a little bit.
You know, we have the shipment delays and the delivery delays for certain pieces of equipment, certain items and things like that. Automobiles in particular have been very difficult. A lot of cities across the board trying to get to replacing vehicles. I know you were telling me about, I think it was you're looking for a new dump truck or a new ambulance or the police fire department's looking for a new ambulance or police cars, police looking for new police cars. And it's the pipeline is pretty much jammed up, and part of that right now is because they have the coronavirus in China
is kind of ramping up again, isn't
it? Well, it's shut, and they have a zero tolerance, so
mm-hmm.
they basically, one of the main shipping ports is of course Shanghai, and with that shut down, nobody working in Shanghai.
Stuff move around.
That means that there's even less, even more of a backup than that. So,
and think about this story, Steve. We had to ask the council to hold a special council meeting on Friday afternoon, which they graciously did for us because we have need to order a new tanker truck for the fire department. The one we have is over 20 years old, and it's time to replace it. And we had an order. We identified that we could get one, but we had to order it before April 30. And even doing that, so we did, so that was the special council meeting. It couldn't even wait until May 2nd, which was the regular council meeting. We held the council meeting. We got authorization from the council to order the truck. But even doing that, we were in the queue, but we were told the chassis for that truck, the price could not be guaranteed. And we would see it sometime within the next 21 months. The box is there, right? The apparatus to put on the chassis, the fire part of it, is there and ready. But if we'd have waited until May 2nd, they couldn't even get us in the queue to get on the order.
Right.
And they had no idea when we could even get in the queue to order.
Yeah, and I think this whole, the chip shortage in automobiles all across the board, but, you know, you don't even think about the fact that how many different components, you know, you have the chips, but how many different components go into a into a fire truck?
Right. Yeah, you got pumps and valves and just engines, motors, all
and the and cars are. Yeah, we've talked about the fact that there's shade tree mechanic days are gone. And you, there's so many different chips that control so many different things that it's very very hard to find something that will fit. Yeah. They, I know that and used cars and used trucks and used every kind of vehicle have all gone up. In fact, they're used cars. About 40% higher now than they were 2 years ago.
I've talked to some of my friends around town or city employees or whatever, where dealers are actually calling them and saying, "Hey, can we? Is it time for you to upgrade? Can we buy your used car?"
My wife got a letter on her car. I bought her a car in November of 2019. Talk about, timing is everything.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
and so because of that, and she says, I'm not selling the car because then I got to find another car, and that's the problem.
Right. At what price point, right?
At what price point can you do it? So the shipping delays and things like that is affecting price. I know it had a huge effect on lumber. Construction prices for buildings and things like that, they've shot up very high. It kind of stabilized, came back down again. I don't know. Are you seeing any particular problem with any of the other road construction materials that need to go in?
Yeah, just about everything. Concrete, the price per yard of concrete has gone up.
I'm aware of that.
Some of the more natural resources like rock and sand and things like that, that's pretty abundant and local and that type of thing. Steel prices, they're high. We saw a pretty good jump from the time we bid the project to actually ordering the lights. We saw a pretty good jump there. So, it just is impacting everything.
One of the largest producers for steel, in fact, the highest grade steel, is in the Ukraine. And that steel plant that is being attacked and bombed and everything else like that, that's the largest in the world. Did you know that? It was, and it produces the highest grade steel of any of the plants anywhere in the world. So,
well, thankfully, because we have federal dollars in this, and because of the Davis-Bacon stuff, we have to buy American and that type of thing, which is great. But we still have the same issues here with price increases and supply chain and all that, too.
Yeah, inflation inflation affects everybody, but it certainly does affect cities. It affects you all the way across. It affects every level of the city, doesn't it?
It does. You know, we're seeing it everywhere, just raw material costs. I think I might have explained in a previous session with you, Steve, that, you know, even the water department, the chlorine cost, which is a necessary element for the treatment of water, that price has just skyrocketed there, too. So, yeah, it's in every little nook and cranny of business that we do.
From a business manager, your business manager, what is your business manager's name?
Stephanie Stuker is our finance director.
Okay. So if you're in charge of trying to manage, you've got a budget, you've got all those things, but if you're trying to manage, you know, the purchases and the and requisitions and things like that.
And think about this, right? So while the water department is a subcomponent and independently managed from the city, so think about that scenario with chlorine. So a department head comes and says, "Hey, I just ordered my 6 month supply of chlorine, and I was able to get it." Good news. Bad news is it's 110% of the cost it was last time or whatever. In the case of the fire truck that I mentioned earlier, 21 months out. We budgeted for that fire truck in fiscal 23, which starts July 1. That's where the money's budgeted and set aside. Now they're telling us we probably won't even get it until fiscal 24. So having to move that money, keep track of when things were ordered and when they were actually delivered and paid for, and we ordered it here, but we're not getting it until,
I think we talked a little bit about you have – basically, anyone that's a union or an AFSCME employee, you have contract negotiations. But is there any level of inflation that you hit that they're that those contracts can be renegotiated?
There's nothing automatic, so it would be up to the two sides to come together depending on the circumstances or the economy at that time. Right now, we're in year two of a five-year agreement, so all those wage increases and benefit provisions and that are in that agreement, locked in for that five-year agreement.
Which I'm going to guess, well, I don't know. We don't know how long this, you know, this is the thing. We don't know how long.
Don't know.
Is this a temporary thing? Is this a, you know, once the supply chain issue is solved, if it is solved, frankly, we've seen employment, basically. I don't know if the city has had any changes in that, but we've had a lot of people have moved and changed jobs. I don't know if you're seeing any movement in the city or not.
We might see a little bit of that. The challenge really for us is just through the normal course of attrition, retirements, and that type of thing, finding replacements. You know, the labor pool is just so tight, it's just hard to get applicants for any of the open positions.
We had Mark Denny, he's the police chief on, and he said it's extremely difficult now. He said trying to find new officers. He said they have because we're also the two things that are going on right now. A, you've got an awful lot of officers that have been around and they've reached their pension point, and some are taking early pension if they can, and simply getting out of law enforcement. And all of a sudden, you have a hole there. Mm-hmm. Now you try to fill that hole, and there's nobody applying.
Yeah, and of those that do apply, so we're seeing, you know, maybe only a third of the applicant pool that maybe we saw 10 years ago. And, you know, the really challenging thing is when you think of public safety for police and fire, they have a series of testing that they have to go through. They have the written test, they have the physical test, and then the psychological test or interview at the end. And, you know, talking with both Fire Chief Trexel and Police Chief Denny, you know, we will lose about half the remaining pool at each of those steps.
Right.
And so by the time you get to the end, good quality you know, applicants there at the end, but there's so few of them.
And that is true. In fact, it's across the board. I had all three. I had the State Patrol, the Sheriff's Department, and I had the Burlington Police Department all in. And I said, so what is the Jason Marlowe about Iowa State Patrol. Tomorrow is Peace Officer Day here.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked Jason, I said, so how do you fill the gaps when, you know, you've got retiring officers in the State Patrol? He says, well, frankly, what we do is we get them from these guys.
Yeah, thanks. Right. You know, and that challenge is, and I'm sure Chief Denny talked about this too, is, you know, then offering, and many cities and police departments do, signing bonus or, you know, to pay for certain benefits and things like that. And the challenge there is whatever Burlington might put together and do, well, West Burlington or Muscatine or Fort Madison is going to inch it up just one more notch, right? And so we're all competing for the same labor pool, and, it gets tough.
Anyway, so as you, I declared we were out of the pandemic after I'd had COVID.
Now we just have the hangover, right?
Well, I think the fact is we are getting. I mean, it's pretty much normal. I think the city, everything basically that I have seen is now operating normal. Yes, are people still getting COVID? Yes, but for the most part, it's extremely mild cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the pandemic of 1918. I mentioned this what faded that or made that fade away was the mutations
mm-hmm.
became milder and milder until it became the common cold. And that's where that's in essence what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that is really what in terms of impact. But anyway, so I'm declaring we're officially normal.
Okay? All right. Well, there we go. Good. We're back to normal. Steve says.
I have no authority and no responsibility, but
except beyond this desk.
I'm sitting right here. No, it is. It has been a. I think the challenge. You came in. It was a year. 13
kind of
months.
In the middle of it. Last. Yeah. It's
13
been
months.
13 months. Yeah.
So you came in, and then you got to see the Omicron surge. You saw the Delta surge, then the Omicron surge.
Right.
And now Omicron is fading, and hopefully we'll fade into oblivion.
Yeah, we see the occasional employee, or I had a family member recently, you know, had a cold, stuffy nose, you know, that type of thing. And, of course, you don't think much of it. It's, you know, spring cold. Well, they test, and they test positive. But it was so minor that they almost tested on a, you know, second thought. Well, I might as well go ahead and test and see.
Well, that's what happened.
Sure
to
enough,
me.
I had it, but it was so minor.
It's what happened to me. I came in and did the garden show, and then I came back, and my wife said, strange. I woke up, I had a scratchy throat, but that was it.
Right.
What? You probably ought to take a test because you just got the 8-pack of tests. You really think so? I'm feeling fine. And so she said, well, just take it. You know, what do you got to lose? If by some chance you do have, it'd be good to know, right?
Right.
And anyway, it comes up positive, and then I say,
here we go.
And then she says, just take another one in 4 hours. Maybe it was a false positive. And in 4 hours, it comes up and it's positive again. And the hardest thing, I think, for me was just simply, and I did everything I could from home, but it was, you know what? It was the most boring week I think I've ever had in my life. And I think that was probably the key element. Anyway, we're going to talk about all of the construction going on at the riverfront. We'll talk about the fact that thank God for flood control and flood mitigation projects.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some other projects that are underway and more with Chad Bird. And we've got that coming up.
This, keep it on the down low here, is the Dan Patrick Show.
When you're withholding money from other billionaires, they might have a problem with this. If the reports turn out to be true, there will be serious consequences for Daniel Snyder. And it feels like all these owners are like, hey, don't rat on me, because I'll rat on you. I got information on you.
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings, 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
I think we're in a time loop.
Because we get White Hot Ranch Nacho Fries every day at Taco Bell.
Yeah, every day is the same. Watch this. Bite, yell, honk.
We're living in a time loop.
Feast on the new White Hot Ranch Nacho Fries day after day. Grilled steak loaded on seasoned fries topped with warm nacho cheese sauce and the new White Hot Ranch.
Same bite.
Different day. Here comes the bong sound.
A participating U.S. Taco Bell locations for a limited time only. Contact local store for prices, hours, and participation which vary.
Today on Hey Culligan, sustainability and better water. Here's Sam.
Hey Culligan, I'm really into sustainability. My clothes, my utensils, my food. But how do I get more sustainability from my water?
Super question, Sam. And the answer is an always-on drinking water system from Culligan, which helps eliminate the equivalent of 15 billion single-use plastic bottles a year.
Whoa, that's a ton of sustainability.
416,000 tons, Sam, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
The team at Standard of Beaverdale is happy to see spring sports in full swing. They are especially big fans of baseball and love seeing all of the youth teams returning to the diamonds. Standard has some perfect products to help out busy sports parents this season. Speed Queen washers and dryers are as fast as they come when that muddy, stinky jersey has to be clean and dry by tomorrow. Standard has Rain Defender Carhartt jackets in youth and adult sizes to make sitting out in inclement weather days a little more pleasant. And when the sun is shining, you'll want a Carhartt bucket hat to keep the rays out of your eyes. Have a little time to kill between games? Standard has travel-size grills from Traeger, Weber, Charbroil, and Blackstone, all perfect for parking lot tailgating. And for all that sitting and spectating you'll be doing, you may want a lawn chair complete with clamp-on umbrella. Come shop Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, where everyone wishes you a happy and successful sports season. Play ball!
You could become the neighborhood's grilling legend with May's Grill and Meats promotion at Catfish Bend Casino. Play this month to win a grill and steak package. Drawings every Friday at 8 and 9 p.m. with 5 winners every drawing. Earn 1 entry for every 50 points earned daily. 5 times entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. See Player Services for details. Come on out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bank Casino inside the Fun City Resort. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Come into Morning Sun Farm Implement and see their lineup of Kubota equipment rated number one in reliability in the under 100 horsepower category. Like Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors designed with you in mind with performance matching attachments. You own the land. It's time to have the right tractor, and their experts will help you find it. They can also make sure your equipment is ready for spring in their parts and service department. Stop by today and get zero down, 0% APR for up to 60 months. Stop by Morning Sun Farm Implement today or visit their website for details. Now through June 30th, 2022, see them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. A Burlington man has been sentenced to federal prison for illegally possessing firearms. 33-year-old Quanathan Najee Knox Ivory of Burlington was sentenced on April 25th to 110 months in prison for felon in possession of firearms. In spring of 2020, law enforcement investigated felons shooting firearms at an indoor shooting range in Burlington. Law enforcement observed Ivory outside the range and determined he was a felon and thus was ineligible for possessing firearms. When Ivory left the range, law enforcement stopped his vehicle and located the three firearms, including a rifle and a large amount of ammunition. Law enforcement also located a drum magazine capable of holding 100 rounds of ammo. Surveillance video from the range showed Ivory shooting all three of the firearms. On December 20th of 2021, Ivory pled guilty to the charge. An Iowa state board has approved an $8 million payment to an Illinois man who was left permanently disabled when he was hit in 2019 by a state transportation department snowplow. The Des Moines Register reports that on Monday, the three-member Iowa state appeal board approved the settlement to 64-year-old Terry Bunting of Viola, Illinois. Officials say Bunting was clearing the windshield of his semi-trailer after pulling over on U.S. Highway 67 in LeClaire when he was hit by the blade of a passing plow. The impact caused acute kidney and spine injuries and multiple broken bones and left Bunting paralyzed. U.S. health officials are restating their recommendation that Americans wear masks on planes, trains, and buses, despite a court ruling last month that struck down a national mask mandate on public transportation. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Tuesday issued a statement saying Americans age 2 and older should wear a well-fitting mask on public transportation as well as in airports and train stations. Last month, a federal judge in Florida struck down a government requirement for masking in public transportation. The Justice Department is appealing the decision. From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. J.D. Vance, a venture capitalist and author who's never run for office, wins his Republican Senate primary in Ohio, endorsed by a gun with a knife blade inside. Mario Ramirez with Fox 11 LA.
Video shows Chappelle falling to the ground before the attacker was tackled by security. Jamie Foxx also running on stage to help detain the attacker. Following that stage tackle, Chris Rock gave Chappelle a hug. He then joked to the audience, Will, was that you?
Will Smith slapped Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars, of course. At least one police officer is hurt during an abortion rights protest in Los Angeles, one of several demonstrations around the country after a Supreme Court opinion leaks indicating a reversal of federal abortion rights.
How dare they tell a woman what she can do and cannot do with her own body.
That's Vice President Kamala Harris there in a pre-scheduled speech hosted by the Emily's List Pro-Choice Political Action Committee. We do not know who leaked the draft opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly sunny skies giving way to partly sunny, then mostly cloudy skies today. High to 61 degrees. Tonight, cloudy. Showers is 60% likely. Overnight, a low down to 49. Showers and thunderstorms, 90% likely on Thursday. High to 58. East winds gusting to 25. Showers and thunderstorms Thursday night, a low to 53. And more showers and thunderstorms, 90% likely Friday with a high to 59. Right now, still mostly sunny skies. It's 49.
Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Wall Street pointing to gains this morning on this Fed decision day. It's expected to raise interest rates a half percentage point to fight inflation. With an announcement coming at 2 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon, it would be the biggest interest rate hike in 20 years and the first back-to-back rate increase since 2006. This means it'll cost you more to borrow money. You'll pay more on any credit card balances you're carrying and adjustable rate loans. Plus, rates will be higher on student loans and mortgages and car loans. Private U.S. businesses added 247,000 new jobs last month, far fewer than expected and well below March. ADP says the primary reason was a drop-off in small business hiring. Uber reported surging revenue in the last quarter, but the company posted a huge loss because of investments and shares are lower. Lyft shares are tanking on a mediocre outlook. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Dealing with ED is difficult enough, but the pressure of not satisfying your partner makes it even worse. ED can be tough on a relationship, but at Hims, you can contact a medical provider online and, if appropriate, get the prescription medication that treats ED at affordable prices. Hims ED medication has the same active ingredient as Viagra, but because it's generic, you pay 90% less. That's right, 90% less. A whole month's supply is just $30, and it's sent right to your home for free in discreet packaging. Hims offers the same medication you'd get from your doctor, but without the copay, expensive appointments, or awkward face-to-face conversations. And with Hims, every online visit is free, and your relationship right back on track. For a free online consultation, go to 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free visit. forhims.com/joy.
When your equipment breaks down, everything comes to a screeching halt. I'm Max from Danville State Savings Bank. In spite of all your planning, sometimes the machine that was supposed to last two more years just falls apart. When that happens, give me a call. With your good credit, we can upgrade your old and rusty to a new and trusty. Danville State Savings Bank goes the extra mile for Iowa farmers and business owners. At Danville State Savings Bank, we are ready when you are. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
.9 35 at KBUR. Chad Bird is the city manager of the city of Burlington. The Tiger Grant. In fact, I'm seeing posters that people are saying Tiger.
And Tiger what? Why?
Saying because of Tiger, or we're still open because of even in spite of Tiger, you can get to us on the sidewalk and where to park and that sort of thing. It's not actually spelled T-I-G-E-R. Is it? I think that's...
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is.
And there's Tiger Prince downtown now, too, right? And I saw a post and somebody said, wait, Tiger Prince? What's that have to do with Burlington, right? Other than the grant. Well, it is about
what is,
the grant.
What is
right?
the acronym? So, what does it actually stand
for?
Yeah,
you're going to put me on the spot. It's Transportation Enhancement Going Forward. Economy, moving the economy forward, something, right?
Well, okay,
it's a federal acronym.
Okay,
so.
Anyway, but it is Tiger... and again, it's moving down Jefferson. You'll go all the way down Jefferson block by block. Once you get down to the end of Jefferson, then do you continue? I know it's supposed to be going up Main Street. Do you move? Where does it become, or where does the construction on Main Street begin, or will it be in construction?
Yeah, and that'll be a little more phased. Right now we're working pretty much, Valley. South to Angular, that's all sewer.
And of course, the work going on between the port and the auditorium too, right?
Right, and so there's three phases to it. There's the Jefferson Street work, there's the Main Street work, and then there's the riverfront work.
Right.
And so they're all three distinct divisions. They have their own plan sets, they have their own budget, all within the Tiger.
But two of those three are under construction.
Actually, all three of them are. The Main Street portion right now is the sewer work that I mentioned from Valley to Angular, but that'll back up once the infrastructure work is done. Then that'll be repaving sidewalks, bike paths, et cetera, from approximately Columbia to Angular. That'll all be improved, new lights, and again, surface and sidewalk and everything. And then the riverfront. And then the Jefferson Street connection.
Now, I know that obviously you can't do it on – it won't be on the Jefferson Street part or the business district area. But, the Complete Streets program basically is one which means you have bike paths. I don't know if they're walking paths or not. I think one thing you have is a sidewalk project that has been trying to upgrade and make sure that new sidewalks are everywhere.
Right. And that's all part of the complete streets or multimodal. So, you know, what we'll see throughout the Tiger Project, in some cases where, you know, if we don't have adequate sidewalk,
right.
Because adequate sidewalk for multimodal for pedestrian and biking and that would say that you need to probably be at least 10 feet wide, right? So, or in a downtown area where you don't want bikes and that.
Right.
There's these things called sharrows that you might paint in the driving lane that basically it's an arrow type symbol with a bike, and signifies that this is a shared space.
One of them, there's one of those on right on Washington Street.
Right.
As you go up. I saw that and I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does it mean bike friendly, I guess.
Exactly. Well, share, right? It's a sharrows.
Yeah.
Share the space.
Yeah.
Understand that this space is open to bikes and motorists alike.
Yeah. Okay. And I typically on Mount Pleasant Street on my way out of, towards West Burlington, it really is nice to have a bike lane.
There's
on both
an actual
sides.
Bike lane there, right.
And know that I'm kind of in this, you know, they're not going to come trying to back up or try to run me right. off the road there. Now, once I get onto the highway, that's another story.
You're on your own. And it's interesting because, you know, the challenge is that always education, right? So educating motorists that this is a shared space or that there are, you know, bikes on the road, cyclists on the road is what I was trying to say. And at the same time, then educating cyclists, as you're fully aware, that when they are on the road, they need to adhere to the same rules and regulations
right.
as a motorist.
You can, if you're going to ride side by side, you can do it on a bike lane as long as you do not extend yourself into the, into the path of traffic. If you're going to be riding a bike on a street, city code says you must ride single file.
Right.
And that means far to the right.
Yeah. And obey the traffic.
One of the biggest arguments
is that cyclists will blow through stop signs and stuff because they'll look and see nothing coming and they just go. That's not the way it's to be done.
Well, I tell you what I've learned. What I've learned is that when I come up to, if I'm on my bike and I come up to, let's say, a four-way stop, I have learned that if you're on a bike and you come to, you got to stop. And then what there's like people are looking like what I automatically go into it into directing traffic mode. I go, you go.
Go.
Then I go, you
go.
Stop.
Yeah, right.
Go.
Now I'm going.
Now I'm going. Yeah. No, because if you don't do that and if you don't have you have to have eye contact.
That's right.
That's true. You know, that's true for automobiles, too. You really do need. Especially when it's if you're in doubt, don't take a chance. But you know, the fact is, I know Colin and I were talking about the fact that he said it drives him crazy when bicyclists turn right in front of him or he doesn't know whether they're going to do what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And he said, the worst offense I see is people who are riding two or three abreast out of city street.
Right, or in clumps or groups or whatever.
In a group.
Right.
And I know, they say, well, you know, we're a team. Well, you may be a team, but, wait till you're, and if you're on an isolated road, okay. If you're not, don't, please.
Obey normal traffic regulations.
Because
every
adult who's a cyclist is also is an automobile driver,
and
a motorist.
Mm-hmm.
So. And the last thing you do, the person that you have made upset, they don't know it's they take it out or they'll be angry with any of the other ones too.
Yeah.
So anyway,
So the bike trails and sidewalks and that are important. You know, last week I received an email from someone who was visiting Burlington and they were commenting that a lot of cities really promote their bike trails.
Yeah.
And, what is Burlington? The question was, what is Burlington doing about that? And, it's interesting that we do have a master plan for a bike trail kind of loop around the community. Just this summer,
there is some parts of that are completed.
That are done, yeah. And, this summer we'll see another part completed. We just are moving forward on bids on Mason Road.
Okay.
And so the Main Street portion of the Tiger Grant, we'll see some other pieces installed. And so we're getting there, and those will be significant. I shared with this person who emailed that the University of Northern Iowa did a study about 10 years ago, so it's a little dated, that said the economic impact in Iowa from cycling, and that's recreational and those that might use it for transportation, is over $1 million a day is about $365 million a year in Iowa for economic impact for cycling. And that includes, you know, your bike shops,
right,
and not just people buying bikes, but then they're, when they're out on a bike for recreation, maybe they stop and have a piece of pie or they have dinner or something like that. So it's pretty significant.
And, well, the last town you're in, which is the town I grew up in, Decorah has... is an outstanding, probably one of the best in the entire United States.
It's pretty impressive up there. There's a 13-mile loop around the city, which is what we're trying to do here. It just takes time, right?
It takes time. Everything takes time. Yeah. And, of course, with supply chain enough said, you're waiting for equipment and stuff like that to come
right.
in. But in terms of, I think the other thing you were mentioning is you're doing sewer work, and we still have... we talked about the riverfront flood mitigation. We were talking about, I think the last time, I think we had, what was John Billups was here, and he said, if we didn't have that flood mitigation and those panels to be able to put in and all the way to be protected all the way to the lift station, he said, there'd be HESCO barriers up that would have been out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, because we were just over 15 feet, and, you know, just talking with Nick, that would have been an activation stage before the flood wall, where we would be out there with HESCOs or we'd be doing other things along the riverfront. So the flood wall really has allowed us an extra almost 4 feet, I think, or something like that, maybe more, before we really have to take action.
So what is the next stage in terms of the flood mitigation?
We'll start moving south towards the wastewater treatment plant, and the next significant phase would be around the wastewater treatment plant, so we can protect that facility in the same way, get us another 4 or 5 feet of protection down there. So that'll be the next one.
Well, we talk about the sewer and stormwater separation project that's going on as well. That project, it's extensive, and it's a lengthy one. Where do we stand in terms of financing that?
So there's some significant sewer separation work in the bonds we just let here in the last month. Actually, on Monday, the council just approved the final loan agreement. So that's another, almost $4 million. And every year we just try to keep doing something. You know, there's some pieces of it in the Tiger Project. Every time we, do a street project or we, tear up some other infrastructure, we look towards how can we separate this, how can we move that, how can we improve this. So there's little bits of it going on all the time. But the EPA order is like 40 years and $100 million, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a massive, massive project.
And sewer work itself, the city is old.
Yeah,
The sewers themselves, some of them are also very, very old, too.
Yeah.
They go back to...
We just let a bid on North Hill to reline some of those sewers, and that's all part of it, too.
Yeah.
When you reline an older neighborhood, there's a process where you can go into old pipes with new lining without having to dig them up.
Oh, really?
It's an amazing project, and so we're doing that in a significant neighborhood up in the North Hill area, and that's all part of that super... separation, because by relining them, it just keeps out that water that you don't want in there,
right?
Groundwater and stormwater.
And frankly, I guess my original thought, I was looking at history. Originally, the Hawkeye Sewer Project basically came. It was just an open sewer that went right into the Mississippi.
Open trench right down. Yeah, right downtown.
And it went right through the downtown, right into the Mississippi. Obviously, that was not necessarily a good thing.
Right.
And a lot of the but it's the city is old, as I said. It goes back to 1833. So that's a long time.
They did things differently back then, didn't they?
They didn't. In 1833, they didn't have very many things at all. But
that they were doing right.
But what they started, basically, it was there was a lot of rendering areas and things like that, and it was just simply everything was just simply dumped into the Hawkeye sewer, and then it ran into the Mississippi. So.
Yeah. And so we're committed to this separation,
right?
Because first of all, it's the right thing to do, and it's the best way to operate our infrastructure, both our storm and our sanitary, by separating and improving. But we're also under an EPA DNR order. We must do it, right? So, we do what we can. We work with the EPA and the DNR through the DNR every year about what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it. And so we get their consultation on just moving that forward.
Price of gasoline, it's come down a little bit. But how much does the gas... every vehicle you have is running out of gas.
Right.
So that also affects the bottom line, doesn't it, for virtually every department?
It does. And it goes back to what I was saying before. So, you know, when they would order, you know, we have a central fueling farm out at Public Works, you know, and they might order 6 or 8 or 10,000 gallons at a time, right? We're not able to lock in a yearly contract because of the fluctuations. We haven't been able to do that for a couple of years. So the next time we order a tanker in to fill it up, you know, if there's a price increase, it's like the chlorine in the water department. You just got to say, well, that's going to bust our budget, you know, this time around. But you have to have it, so you have to do it.
So what you have a budget, that budget actually, you passed the city budget and no increase in the levy. Now, a lot of things have changed since you had that budget passed. Is there any modification that needs to be done, or what do you do?
So we handle that through budget amendment, which actually we're just setting the public hearing for the budget amendment. So that'll be coming up here through later part of May and first part of June. Yes, the state law requires that anytime we spend more than what we budgeted for, we have to amend the budget. We have to seek authority to spend that money more than what we budgeted for. Where we offset that revenue, a lot of times it comes from, you know, there's a grant that we received that we didn't know at budget time. Remember, when we do budget, we're 18 months out. We're trying to forecast 18 months. So there's a lot of times you don't know what projects might come along, what grant revenues come in. Or if it's, you know, generally in general fund, like fuel prices or something like that, maybe comes from road use tax or whatever. The only way you can amend the budget and seek authorization for more than what you budgeted is to use cash on hand, fund balances, which is why it's so important to build up our reserves when we can to try to balance that. So,
well, you can only do what you can do. And we're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
This is The Herd.
The winner in this is also
Colin Cowherd.
Kyrie and KD have chosen to be the villain, and they don't like the shrapnel and the pitfalls of it. People are going to be on you. I mean, KD's sensitive. We know that. And he reacts to everything. So if you choose that path in life to agitate, you're going to get hecklers.
This is The Herd.
And the story out today.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Farming has a remarkable past, full of legacy and tradition. But it also has a very promising future. Future based on higher demand, higher capabilities. And the way forward to that future will be led by the brave, the courageous, the trailblazers. At Morning Sun Farm Implement, we also have a wonderful history. Formed by a group of local farmers in 1989, we've never forgotten where we came from and who we're honored to serve. So today, we're giving farmers a new option to build their future. The Fendt line of agricultural equipment delivers the perfect blend of brains and brawn to help achieve what our forefathers would find incredible. So whether your farm is Massey Red or Fendt Green, Morning Sun Farm Implement will have the equipment to keep your operation running at its very best, so the future of your farm can be every bit as great as its past.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
Are you ready to start planning your next vacation? With Cape Air, direct flights to St. Louis or Chicago O'Hare are affordable and convenient from Southeast Iowa Regional Airport in Burlington. Flights start at just $39 each way to St. Louis and $49 each way to Chicago O'Hare, and parking at the Burlington Airport is free. With Cape Air, your journey will be as enjoyable as your destination. Book your next trip at capeair.com.
Have something to sell? Looking for something? Have something to give away? You can now do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the KBUR online trading post. Just go to KBUR.com and click on Trading Post, or go to our KBUR Facebook page direct and join the Trading Post group and start dealing. You can post as many pictures of your items as you wish. It is still the marketplace of the air, but now all the time. The KBUR online trading post from News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back. Chad Burt is the city manager of the city of Burlington. A lot of building projects going on in downtown Burlington. New stuff is happening. New restaurants are opening. New apartments are opening. New condos are opening.
There's a new grocery store downtown.
There's going two new. There yeah. are two new grocery yeah. stores, yeah. a new brew pub, and you know, it's a little bit like you know, one thing leads to another. I think there's 23, 24 different restaurants in yeah. downtown.
You know, in my line of work, I call it the bulldozer theory, Steve. If you take a vacant lot or a field and you just park a bulldozer in it, people get excited, right? Something's happening,
well, okay.
And I want to be a part of that, right? So maybe they do something to their building or, you know, whatever. So.
Well, I think the fact that it's, you know, it is, it's a phenomenon you see in major cities when they are going through a growth project or growth spurt. And I think there was something, you know, millennials, okay, are the birth rate in Burlington is mm-hmm. low, okay, and the age is high, okay, but yep. we've got the number one demographic that's in downtown is millennials by mm-hmm. and large, and now they're not having children, which is probably not going to help the school system, at least maybe not right now, but I think the fact is. Increasing, you know, seeing that population, we've been in a constant, a slow decline population.
Slow one. Mm-hmm.
Seeing people moving back to Burlington from out of town, and they've been someplace else and moving back. It seems like we've got a little of that phenomenon going on. Plus, once you have, if you've got an attractive area, and it draws more people to want to
yeah.
be there. So
yeah. people are into the experiences today. We see that with the millennials. They're all about experiences. They're not buying houses because they want to have either the disposable income that they can get out
right.
and experience. They go to eat, they travel, whatever. Or they don't want to be tied down to one place. They want to be able to be fluid and move around.
I mean, I guess the question is, a lot of this has happened since the last census. And obviously mm-hmm. the last census was taken during a pandemic, and I don't even know how.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
It was the
yeah.
accuracy of that is being
right.
greatly... Is there? I think we talked to John Billups. He had said there was a talk about, you know, maybe we could do a special census.
You can do a special census. You have to pay for it. You know, but the importance of that is, you know, there are so many revenues that the city receives from the state that are based on population. For example,
right.
the gas tax, the road use tax. So, you know, if all of a sudden that revenue decreases for us. Is it a time to look at a special census and even just pay that cost because you know you might make it back up
and
on the other
cross,
side?
And if you cross another threshold,
right.
I think it's back up to over 25,000,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? So,
right.
You get, yeah. So,
yeah. So it might be important to do.
It's something, I guess, how do you, obviously that'd be the vote of the council, right?
Is that right? Right, yeah, the council would have to make that order. And you just have to look at those numbers. You know, if our population did increase by this, we thought it did. Then you order the special census. Maybe the special census costs you X, but you know you're going to make Y over the next 9 years
yeah.
or 8 years or
yeah.
whatever, right, until 2030. So, yeah, it's a math game at that
well,
point.
Well, and I think we're seeing, and well, one of the trends that has occurred during the pandemic is a lot of people from, let's say, some expensive, very outrageously high-priced places such as California. We talked about the cost mm-hmm. of living in some of these. Looking to move back into an area which is basically a comfortable area to be, and has amenities that they want yeah. to want to have, but a cost of living is dramatically lower, and right. I think that's something we have. That's really a selling point for the city.
It is, and you know, and I would still maintain too. You know, for me, it's all about the quality of life too. It is. The economy is so different from. the country of California. but our quality of life here is pretty amazing too, right? You know, generally low crime. It's safe. We have beautiful parks and areas to explore. We have the river. It's just a great place to live, work, and play, right?
Three really nice golf courses.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's
if
like,
you play, I'm kind of a hack.
Okay,
so.
Well, and it's a great biking. I said, I said you get a lot of bike trails. I said, well, I do and I don't. I mean, we've got bike trails. I like riding on the roads, and there's a lot of low density traffic areas around.
A lot of great county roads too,
and areas that are county roads that are. Whitey Clausen, when he was the county engineer and the city engineer, built a lot of those farm-to-market roads were all paved.
Yeah, and they're still in great shape.
And they're in great shape, and so it makes life, that's a quality of life issue, and I think having that, plus having pretty much, we've got all new schools, too. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you can use to try to lure people. I'm not sure how many companies are being moved back and forth, but we're seeing
some movement there, too. So you need to get Jeremy Hess on and talk about some of that, right?
I'm sure we will. We've had him on a few times before. But anyway, month of May is here. Very busy month in terms of activities in the city of Burlington. Yep. And bike races coming Memorial Day weekend, both Friday and Saturday. Almost right exactly from where I'm sitting at right now.
Right out the window. Thanks, Steve.
thanks, Jeff.